Let's go to the word of the Lord real quick, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I want to teach something to you in Sunday school. I like school. Now, I know everybody else in life hated school. I liked school. And the reason I liked school was because I liked to learn. And so in Sunday school, if I just teach you what you've already known, you didn't learn anything. So I try to teach you when I teach Sunday school, especially, and when you preach sometimes, and more of a, you may just get you to react to what you already know. But I want to teach you something this morning about deliverance. So let's look at Luke chapter 4 and 18. Jesus coming out of being tempted of the devil for 40 days, and he had overcome the temptation. He was led of the Spirit into the temptation and then led of the Spirit into the temple. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, as he reads out of the book of Isaiah to all of those in the temple that day, he being a reader. He finds a place in Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon me because he hath anointed me. And he's anointed me to do this, preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Out of these three things, he said to preach, preach the gospel, preach deliverance, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm going to pick the middle one. I want to preach deliverance this morning. Let's bow our heads. God, we come before you this morning. I'm not so naive and preach so short a time that I don't realize somebody here needs deliverance. They need deliverance from themselves. They need deliverance from an enemy. They need deliverance from maybe something they're addicted to, something that's troubling them and been troubling them and will continue to trouble them until they get deliverance. So help us to understand what deliverance is really about this morning in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach or teach for a little while a delivered life. A delivered life. And the first thing I want to establish in my teaching this morning is the difference between escaping and being delivered. Escaping is not necessarily being delivered. Escape has this root meaning to it, believe it or not. Escape. Escape. E-S-C-A-P-E. And it really means to flee or to leave in the hands of your pursuer, your cape. So that I barely got out. You see, he got the cape, but I got away. Escape. And so when you look at the life of Joseph, right? She got the coat. He got the blame, but he escaped, right? As Potiphar's wife accused him of having an affair with him, which was not true, but as he fled, she grabbed his coat and she said, this is my proof. So you got the cape, but I got the truth. Yeah, so sometimes you escape things. And I don't want to just keep, I want to talk about a delivered life. I don't want to talk about keep escaping, keep running, keep hiding, keep trying to justify why you do what you do. Escape is when you try to avoid something. I want to escape that, you know. Too many times, I'm afraid, as Christians, we're trying to escape things rather than being delivered from them. We want to escape it. We're going to avoid it. I don't want to deal with that today. So we keep constantly escaping things, and we never really get delivered from it. Amen. So we look at Hebrews 2 and 1 as we study here this morning. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, grab a hold, more earnest heed. What'd you say? I need to live like that, not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, it didn't slip, it was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we, we're going to get out with your cape? How are you going to make it? So he said, how will you? Now, he's being rhetorical when he says this because you can't. But there, for those people that says, well, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. What they're looking for is an escape route. They're wanting to escape punishment. They're wanting to escape ridicule, they're wanting to escape persecution, they're wanting to escape other people making fun of them, and you live a life of escaping, and you're never delivered. When you're delivered, you don't care what people think. You don't care what they say. You don't care you can't go there anymore. Oh, am I teaching the right group of people this morning? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord himself and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? What the writer is saying, there's no escaping. You can't hear this gospel and say, well, you know, I'll find another way. There is no other way. He's being ironic, if you will. And people that have neglected so great a salvation will never escape it. They're looking for a way to avoid different things and never really buckle down and get in the church. There's too many people that live around the church and never get in the church. And we need to quit trying to avoid, listen close, reality. Quit avoiding the reality of the thing. Quit avoiding the truth. Quit avoiding pain. Quit trying to avoid suffering. Quit trying to avoid depression. Quit trying to avoid all these things and deal with it. If you deal with it, you can get delivered. If you don't deal with it, you keep escaping. And we don't need to escape, my brothers and sisters. We need to be delivered. Now, the Bible talks about how to pray. And the disciples, in the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, he said these words, "Lead me not into temptation." Now, there, James talks about escaping temptation, that the Lord will provide a way for you to escape. If you get caught in a temptation, he says, I'll with that temptation, I'll find a way for you to get out of it. Now, don't go there again, you see. You can't keep escaping temptation. You can't say, well, I'm strong enough, that's not going to bother me. No, I'm telling you, it'll get you. There's always a way to click on something else. There's always a way to look the other way. There's always a way, no, I'm not going there. There's always a way to avoid it. But the scripture says, as he was teaching them how to pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Everyone say, deliver me. Deliver me from evil. If I am delivered from evil, the temptation will go away. But if I'm not delivered, I got to keep escaping it. I can't go by them because, you know, I can't look at that. I can't. It was the Spirit of the Lord that led Jesus into temptation. Did you hear that? It was not the devil that led him into 40 days of temptation. It said, and he being led of the Spirit went into temptation. Well, I thought he said, lead me not into temptation. That's exactly right. He was led there so I don't have to go there. Everything he did was so I don't have to repeat what he did. I don't have to go to the cross. He goes to the cross. I don't have to be tempted like he was tempted. He was tempted like that. I want to show you that he became our deliverer. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And guess what? And he came out, the Bible says, and he being full of the Holy Ghost went into the temple. He came out just like he went in. Why? Because he was delivered. Oh, my God, I don't know if I got enough time to do this justice. The word deliver means to exchange hands, to convey it to somebody else. You deliver. The Spirit led him in. The Spirit led him out. When you look at the parable of the talents and the parable of the pounds, I've often said, and he gave them. Well, the Bible says he delivered unto them. He delivered unto them the talents, and he delivered unto them the pounds. He took it out of his hands. He put it in their hands, and then they put it back in his hands. See, it was delivered. Now, I know that everybody here has received a package from some postal service of some kind, and they said, sign here. Right? Showing that it was delivered. Took it out of somebody else's hands. The deliverer takes it out of somebody else's hands, puts it in his care and in his hands, and he hand brings it to you and delivers it to you. It changes hands. But if something escaped, it doesn't change hands. It's just out of one hand, and it's looking for a home, like the old boll weevil, just looking for a home. That's all it is. Escape. Cain escaped. He never was delivered.
Esau escaped. He never was delivered. Jacob, with all of his escaping he did, he finally got delivered. It's to go out of one hand and into another hand. And so Moses became the deliverer for the children of Israel because he orchestrated a way to get them out of Pharaoh's hands or the Egyptians' hands and into the hands of God again. So he became their deliverer. Now watch. Let's go to Exodus 3 and 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction. And you need to know that God sees your affliction. The affliction of my people which are in Egypt or in the world. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. God knows what you are going through. I am come down to deliver them. I didn't come down to help them escape. I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and all them ites. I'm going to bring them out of that land and put them in this land, but I will go before them and drive them out because I want them in my hands. He said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression. God sees what's oppressing you. He sees what's depressing you. But if you just escape it, you'll face it again. Every time they escaped to the wilderness, they faced it again. Go ahead and run, but you can't hide. They'd go out 3 days. Oh, go get them. Surely I'll let you go. Go get them. And he'd bring them back because they were only escaping. They needed deliverance. I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee to Pharaoh that thou mayest bring them forth, my people, the children of Israel, my children. I want them back in my hands and I want them out of the world's hands. Get them out of Egypt. This Moses, in Acts it is recorded, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a what? Deliverer. By hand of the angels which appeared him in the bush. God is going to take them. He said, I took them by the hand and led them out. Hand delivered. The purpose of deliverance is so that somebody, you go from one hand into another hand. Hallelujah. Backsliding is when you go out of God's hand back into the world's hands. Let me tell you something about backsliding. It's not that God curses people that backslide. He takes away his goodness. That's what people don't understand. God, you're going to live like the rest of the world. But I'm not going to treat you the same if you're going to live like them. But if you're going to live godly and righteous, I'm going to bless you. Do you understand that? And so even though, listen close, over 1 million people, about 70 went in, and over 1 million, perhaps 1.5 million Israelites cried out by reason of their affliction, but only 2 were really delivered. Out of millions that cried out, that had a chance to be delivered, their deliverance only turned into an escape as they died in the wilderness. But 2 of them said, we're well able to take the land. The Lord is on our side. He will bring the enemy into our hands. He will let us possess the land. And these 2 were delivered. The rest of them just escaped. And they ran around for 40 years and never received the promised land. Do you want to escape this morning? Do you want to be delivered? You want to keep facing this next week, next week, next week, and next year you'll be complaining about the same stinking thing. But if you're delivered, it won't bother you. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. If you're delivered, let somebody else handle it. Because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And you need to let God handle it, and you go on and live a delivered life. But you can't put yourself in bondage with what other people do. Sometimes I wish people would never tell me a secret. Never tell me your secrets. I'm making an announcement. Do not tell me your secrets. Because when you tell me your secrets, you put me in bondage to what you just said. Now, I can't do anything. I got to act like I don't know anything. And you're looking at him like, well, I didn't know that. I'm lying now. Do not tell me your secrets. You know what? Some people, they say, now, don't you tell nobody this. And then they go to the next one and say, now, don't you tell nobody. They want to be the first one to tell everybody. That's why they tell you, don't tell anybody. And by the time they get through, everybody knows. This is real, isn't it? Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from fear. Deliver me from avoiding issues. Deliver me from the mental state that I may be in. I want to be in God's hands because I know when I'm in God's hands, there's peace. He could walk into a room and through the door and they were scared out of their mind. And he said, peace be unto you. Winds and waves, peace be still. When you're in God's hands, there's peace. When you're in your own hands and your fate is in your own hands, you'll be like the disciples. Care us not that we perish. Wake up. I'm in your hands this morning. I'm not in the world's hands. So we look at this. Deliver me from sin. Paul wrote in Romans, he's 7:24, oh, wretched man. Man, if Paul was wretched, where does that put me? Oh, wretched man that I was. That's not what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? He didn't say, I'm ready to escape this. I'm ready. I want to be delivered. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The wages of sin is what? Death. Who's going to deliver me from this sin? Next verse. I thank God. I thank God. How did God do it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, he did it. So then with the mind, I serve the law. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's a war, excuse me, he said, going on inside of me that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. It's a conflict. I want to be delivered so that I'm not so conflicted. And so I wanted to talk this morning about how Christ delivers us from sin. This morning, I'm preaching about living a delivered life. Praise the Lord. Not an escaped life. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. When you read, a lot of times in the Bible, you'll see Jacob and Israel even in the same sentence. Jacob was that carnal man. That was that sinful man. That man that knew that he was doing wrong when he deceived his brother and knew that he was doing wrong when or deceived his daddy. He didn't deceive his brother. He just swindled him. But he knew that this was not right, but he did it anyway. He said, I want to turn away that ungodliness. I want to bring Israel out of you. I want you to prevail. He said, you are a prince and you have prevailed. And when you prevail, it means you have been delivered, right? And so Jesus is our deliverer, just like the UPS man. He's like our spiritual UPS man that transfers it, my sins, from one place to another. And when we look and compare, we don't have time this morning to compare the lives of Moses and Christ as both deliverers, but you can see as I talk about it this morning, there's many, many comparisons. Moses was born in a godly family. He was actually born in the Levite family. And when he was born, the Bible says he was a proper child, just like Christ was. And then the decree went out to kill all the male children, right? Like it was when Christ was born, right? And so Moses, he fled in a boat, right? Well, so did Mary and Joseph flee. There's just so many analogies about the deliverer, the comparison. But as Moses is going down, when she could not hide him any longer, his mother, she took and made a little bulrush ark and put that little infant in this little bitty boat. My, I guess she said he's going to die anyway, and I'll just maybe. And she when he's no longer could be hid. So that lets me know he's probably a few months old. He wasn't just, she was hiding him up until some point, maybe a year, I don't know. But she puts him in this little boat, willing to let him go down the, with the snakes and the crocodiles and all this kind of stuff. And he is spotted by Pharaoh's daughter. Look, there's a baby inside that. And she turns to this little lady standing in there, says, you want me to go get it? Yeah, go get that little baby. And it's Moses' sister. This is an amazing story. It's Moses' sister. And she goes out there, oh, look. It's a baby. It's one of them Israelite Hebrew babies. She said, sure enough. And his sister says, would you like for me to find a nurse to take care of this little brat here? And she said, why don't you do that? And she goes and gets her mother. Wow. Isn't God good? Doesn't God know how to deliver the righteous out of all of their temptations? God knows how to deliver. Oh, Hallie, you got to be willing to put it in the boat, though, honey. That's the problem. You got to be willing to put it in the boat. And so she takes the baby, gives it to the mother to raise, but he's raised in her hands, but yet in the land are the hands of the Egyptians. And you know the story, how he is a conflict broke out between the Israelite and the Egyptian, and he took up for his own blood, and then he killed the Egyptian, and he had to flee. But he's coming back because he's the deliverer. You see, he's the deliverer. He's coming back because now he's learning the terrain. He's learning the wilderness. He learned Egypt. He learned wherever he went, he was learning, taking notes, not knowing I'm going to be the UPS man. I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to be the deliverer of Israel, not knowing that. So when the Lord calls him, he said, I can't do it. He didn't plan this thing. But God knows how to deliver his people. He chose Moses. And they said, who made you a ruler and a judge over that same one? Did God make a deliverer to bring them out? And so we see the comparison of Christ coming as a little infant, rejected of men. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth was exchanging hands. Heaven was giving up a son to earth. And that son would go back and come back and deliver his people from their sins. My. Let's read a little bit about Christ and his deliverance. When we look at Mark 9 and 31, it said, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered. Now, it's important to understand this. He is delivered into the hands of men. Handed over. No fussing, no fighting. He's like a lamb before the sheep, a shearer is dumb, as Isaiah said. And they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him, what do you mean? I've often told people, especially in my business, don't be afraid to ask. I can tell you, it's almost invariable. You can have a meeting and you say, any other questions? Okay, you're dismissed. There'll be five people come up and say, I got something I wanted to ask you. Then we look at Matthew 27 and 26. All right, he's got to be turned over. He's been turned over already to the hands of men. They've tied him. They bring him to Pilate's judgment hall. And here we have somebody's going to escape, and one will be delivered. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. It's important to understand that Jesus could have escaped at any time. He said, think not that I could call a legion of angels to take care of this problem. Escaping is not what I'm here for. In the volume of the book, it was written of me to do thy will, O God. I take away the first that I may establish the last. And the only way I can do that is be delivered. And I'm trying to teach somebody this morning, you just let it in your hard head that you can't keep escaping. You need deliverance. So Christ was delivered into the hands of men to die for my sin and your sins upon a cross. You could have nailed me to the cross. It would not have taken away my sins. It's important to understand that he willingly was delivered. He was delivered God, I'm going to show you, God delivered him into the hands of men.
Luke 24 and 3. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. This is at the resurrection. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember, remember, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered the words that I just read to you. They're like, oh yeah, we didn't ask him that day, but now I know why he had to be delivered. So rather than escaping, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he woke his trusted apostles up and said, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Get ready, they're coming. Romans 8 and 29. Because he was delivered, he became the deliverer. And because he's the deliverer, listen close, he can deliver you out of all of your troubles. But if he would have escaped, he could deliver nobody. All he'd do, teach us how to escape. Are you with me this morning? Romans 8 and 29, for when he did foreknow, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us. It's interesting it didn't put Jesus before us. If God be for us. You see, you got to understand that Jesus was God and man. And God is the one that delivered him into the hands of the enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? Watch. God, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Are you understanding that it is God that delivered his son? He came in flesh and delivered his son to the hands of sinful men. He turned him over. The Bible says it even pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did he do that? So he could be the deliverer. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Listen close. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. God never died. God is a spirit. God never died, but his son did. And it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen. He said, we can talk about the death all you want to, but if he don't rise, eat and drink for tomorrow we die, Paul said. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that he is risen, who is even at the right hand. He's back. He was delivered into the hands of evil people, and they crucified him. But now he's back in the hand of God, the right hand of God, or the power of God, who also maketh intercession, thank God, for me. You see, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, so that when he took on flesh, he became a high priest that could feel the infirmities of the people. As God, he had no pain. As God, he had no blood, no sweat, no sorrows like we have. But when he became us, it was a different story.
And now Jesus becomes the intercessor. The Bible says there is one between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. So he became this intercessor. He became, listen close, the UPS man that delivers things from God to me on earth. That Jacob's ladder thing, those are packages coming up and going down. Heaven to earth. Ooh, I got to close. I got more I could say. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Once you've been delivered, who shall separate us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of the sword? Nothing, he says, shall separate me from the love of Christ. Why? Because I have been delivered. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, written wherein we were held. In other words, I was bound by the law and what the law said. I just did it because the law said it. But when you're delivered, you don't want to do it. That you should serve the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. He knows how to deliver you out of all of your troubles. Clap your hands to the Lord. My God, he's a deliverer. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, my God, delivers us from the power of darkness. And he just, I want to live a delivered life. Paul told Timothy, he said, there are those that they're in bondage, they're captive to Satan, who just pulls them back at his will. See, you think you're over it. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I'm over it. Praise the Lord. I'm over it this time. Pulls them back. And they're right back where they were. But this time, I finally got the victory this time. You know how hard that is on you to claim you got the victory and then you meet defeat and claim I'm over this time? Because we're taught to say it, right? I mean, we're taught, you got your healing, proclaim it, right? We're taught that. We're taught, call those things or not as though they were, and then it doesn't happen. And then you're like, don't want to show up anymore. But I'm telling you, God knows how to deliver. If that woman was willing to put her baby in a boat, that he might be a deliverer. My God, what are you willing to put in the boat? What are you willing to say, God, I'm giving it all to you. That's all she had. I'm giving it all to you. Sink or swim, as they say, right? This morning, I'd love to close with an altar call, but Brother Eric Davis is coming this morning. He's going to teach us or preach the second part. But I'm just telling you now, if you want to be delivered, deliverance doesn't start tomorrow. It doesn't start next week or when I feel better, when I get over this, when I get my pills, I'm going, no, deliverance starts now. It starts right here. This is where it starts, is right here. Hallelujah. And then God finds a way to deliver you. He said that you have, after you've done the will of God, you have need of what? Patience. Patience. You can't be messed up for 30 years and expect God to do it in 3 days. But if you'll just walk in his presence and live a victorious life, God knows how to deliver you. One more time, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Quit escaping and get delivered. Take a quick break this morning, and we'll come back for morning worship.